While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. You know, folks, it doesn't take much. It does take a little bit. And if you put forth the effort, you can improve somebody else's life. I'm just saying that, you know, and to help me talk about some of this, we've got Marianne Levine, who is with The Hill. Marianne, welcome back to Union Edge.
Thank you. I'm actually with Politico.
Oh, I am terribly sorry. I got, you know, I'm having one of those days, and I apologize
no,
for that.
Okay. We all have those days,
but
thank you.
With Politico, absolutely. Today, we are talking about tipped minimum wage people. My goodness gracious sakes alive, here in the state of Pennsylvania, it's $2.83 an hour, and I think it's been there since World War One, or something like that. I don't know. It's been that way, you know, since I was a waiter when I was a young man. So I got to tell you, we need to do something to bring it up. Why do we need to do it to bring it up? A couple of different reasons. Here's my opinion. Look, those people working on minimum wage, first of all, they don't get a paycheck. They get an estimation on how much they made in tips and how much was sent off, you know, to taxes and all this kind of other stuff, but they don't get any money. Second of all, we can do better for our wait staff. And Marianne, what do you think about this?
So one of the challenges with that we're seeing for tips workers is that, you know, the federal minimum wage or federal tips wage hasn't changed since 1991. It's still $2.13. And while employers are required to make up the difference and ensure that their tipped employees do make the minimum wage, one of the challenges that we're seeing is that there's some data that a couple organizations, including the Economic Policy Institute, have cited that tipped workers are twice as likely to live in poverty. And there's some debate about, you know, whether we should either get rid of the tipped minimum wage entirely or attach it back to the federal minimum wage as it was until 1996.
Here's my thoughts about this, okay? And let me explain. I'm gonna plug a place here in the Pittsburgh area called Bar Marco. It's a restaurant, nice restaurant, and it's got a nice clientele. None of their staff get tips. They're all salary, okay? You don't get the turnover. You don't get, once you train somebody, they're there. They get experience, so on and so forth. They're empowered, all this kind of other stuff. It's great, and I strongly recommend the bar. I'm not getting paid to do that, but I'm recommending it because I like their attitude. If we pay our wait staff a decent wage and take it off the customers, that's going to do wonderful things for those people working there. They're not going to have to go to the county for housing assistance. They're not going to have to go to the county for food assistance or health care assistance. It makes it a better thing all the way around. I'm not saying we got to pay them $5,000 an hour, but I mean, a little bit of respect. They're working hard. Treat them right. What are people saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Marianne.
And I was going to say that, you know, a lot of these workers are, like 70% of tipped workers are women. So this is also in part a women's issue as well.
Yeah, and it's got an impact on the family. And I don't know how many, but I'm sure there are a lot, maybe single moms, single dads out there. You know, they've got family responsibilities, so on and so forth. I mean, and I've heard the arguments. Well, they'll earn what they deserve because it's tipped. Yeah, you know what? You're not going to pay somebody that. Yeah, most people who leave tips, they're not thinking that. They're just leaving the 15% and off they go. Marianne.
Yeah, no, I think one of the challenges, you know, what the National Restaurant Association will say is that, yeah, the average for a tipped worker is between $16 and $22, and that, you know, tipped workers do actually make up the difference. But, you know, the fact that a lot of them are, you know, still in poverty or are twice as likely to live in poverty as a non-tipped worker, I think says that perhaps, you know, the tracking system isn't as, you know, isn't as effective as maybe it should be. Now, legally speaking, employers are supposed to pay the difference. You know, an employee is not making the amount of tips to amount to the minimum wage. And the National Restaurant Association says that they work with the IRS to ensure that this is the case. But, you know, what a lot of other people are saying is that, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, it's hard to track how many hours you're working, how many, you know, it's unlikely that a worker would be tracking every single hour and go back to their employer and tell them that they cheated them on their tipped wage, and that's the person who's determining their schedule, that's the person who's, you know, who's determining, you know, whether they have a job. So that's definitely one of the challenges tipped workers face, and it's an area where, you know, there is some data on it, but there
right.
could be more as well.
You know, and there's some other problems, and I'm going to tackle the easy one first. These folks should have paid sick days. Okay? Marianne, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I go to a restaurant and somebody's got the walking crud, I don't want to get it. I'm sure they're a nice person. Please don't give me your walking crud, okay? And it's not a reflection on them. If anything, it's a reflection on the boss. It's telling me if employees have to come in and work because even when they're sick, because they can't get a paid day off, well, you know what? How are you going to treat me as a customer if that's what you're doing to your employees? So that's one thing. Here's the other thing. And anybody who goes to a restaurant and anybody has any understanding of how wait staff are supposed to work would understand that when the wait staff are hauling ice back and forth between the kitchen and the bar, or they're rolling silverware, or they're doing those other things like food preparation in the back, that's not waiting on tables. That's additional duties and responsibilities that the employers are putting on the wait staff that should be put on paid staff. So the employers are taking advantage of the wait staff. And if somebody complains, well, guess what? They'll just fire you. That's how it goes.
It's definitely a challenging environment for sure.
Absolutely. Marianne, how do we find out more about this and what you do for media or for Politico?
On Twitter, which is my Twitter handle is Marianne_Levine. That's MARIANNE_LEVINE. You can also sign up for our morning shift newsletter where we deliver the latest news in labor. And it goes out every morning. And yeah, you can check out Politico Pro's labor and employment vertical.
Absolutely. And tell your boss to give you a pay raise for having to deal with me sometimes, okay?
Thank you.
Marianne, thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate it. I'm Charles Showalter. I'm having one of those days, folks. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor Talk Radio.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play, So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important, especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in, dear. Thank you.
For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Also, folks, if you have a smartphone, go to our website, theunionedge.com. Download a free app for your iPhone or for your Android phone. Doesn't matter which. We've got both. You can listen to the program live. You can listen to streaming and all kinds of other things. It's even got an app in there to help you find your car. What can I tell you? Angela is awesome. Right now on the line, we've got Frank Emspeck of Workers Independent News. Frank, welcome back.
Hi, back. Good to be back. Good to be back.
Always a pleasure, Frank. Always a pleasure. What's going on?
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about sort of reframing things and sort of try to figure out how we can think about what's happening to all of us. And there are two sort of markers that I'm thinking about that maybe the listeners would like to consider. This is in the context of the fact of the matter that the standard of living of working people, meaning anybody earning less than $100,000 a year, essentially, as family income, is going down. But it's death by a thousand cuts. And here are two examples. The Postal Service, in our newscast today, we discuss it, is reducing services. It's making it harder to mail a first-class letter.
Right.
It takes longer. Now,
right.
That's because
they're shutting down facilities all across the country.
Yes, they're shutting down facilities. They're laying off people. They're making it more difficult. Well, this is the Postal Service, the people who are in charge, not the unions who are fighting,
right,
but the Postal Service. Well, but what is this constitutes just another little cut in the standard of living of working people, because working people for first-class mail use the post office. Small businesses use the post office for first-class mail. And so it just makes it a little bit harder. It's not a revolutionary thing. It's just sort of a continuing deterioration. And so if we fight it, I'm mad, right? Maybe we'll win. But it's just one of a thousand little things happening. Another is this realization on the part of major firms that build housing in this country. And this is the front page today of the Wall Street Journal, among other places. They have realized that we have two economies now, and that building affordable single-family housing for middle-class people, and they define this again as people earning less than $100,000 or so as family income, which most people do, you should know, 80%. But anyway, they're no longer interested in building houses that sell for $250,000.
Yeah, there's no money in it.
That's right, because we, most working people, have been squeezed. And so they said, forget that. We'll just build expensive homes, and we'll make money. But that means that major sectors of the economy, who always used to talk about that we have a middle-class thing and we're going to produce consumer goods and housing for middle-class people, have abandoned that. So their perception of the future is one of continuing decay and decline and stagnation for working people. Now, if in our heads we're all convinced we're going to be millionaires, now, we're all convinced that we have to worry about a balanced budget so the banks get their money, we're never going to be able to get out of this mess. So to me, what this requires is our thinking has to change a bit and has to begin to be centered on what we need as working people, not how, by getting a tax cut right away, we might get $15 a year or $40 a year and thereby put public education in danger because our kids aren't going to school anymore. So what I'm saying is that these little cuts, post office one day, you know, a toll on your what used to be a free, expressway the next day, another 5% for your bus fare, all these little things reduce our standard of living. And we, as working people, have to think about all these things coming together so that we can come together and not just deal with each of these individually. It's across the board. Interest rates, transportation, housing, and now even the post office.
Yeah, absolutely, each Frank. One. Absolutely. And my whole thoughts about this, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, there is nothing at all wrong for people say, hey, you know what? I work hard. I help this company make a lot of money. I want my slice of the pie. Stop being greedy.
What's going to happen is if people don't give a piece of the pie, or your piece of the pie becomes mince, so to speak, and less, you're not going to be interested in the owners having that pie much longer.
Right.
The consequence for you is the standard of living that's falling, that your kids can't go to school, that they can't buy a house, that your neighborhood's collapsing, and you can't get to work. Then you're not going to be interested in sharing that pie too long. And I think we need to understand that this is not something that's going to last forever. It will if we don't do anything and don't see our mutual support, that why it's important for all working people that people are getting paid $7 an hour get $15, you know, and that it isn't just fair that the Postal Service guys get laid off and your mail is late. That's bad for everybody, and
yeah,
all of us are affected here.
Absolutely. Frank, listen, we got to get going. We're up against a hard block. We appreciate your time with us. Frank Emspach of Workers Independent News. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Stick around through the spots. I'm coming back. I got a rant.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate that. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Folks, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about doing the right thing. There are millions and millions of employees in this country. About 10-12% of them are unionized. The rest aren't. A lot of people want to belong to unions in this country. A lot of people want to belong to unions for a number of different reasons. Number one, fairness on the job. Trust me, there are outstanding employers out there. And they still get unionized shops. And that's not a bad thing. There are some really lousy employers out there. And they get unionized. And that's probably a good thing. If you are working for somebody and you're helping bring home the bacon and that company's doing well, you're helping bring home the bacon. You should share in the meal. And there are going to be times when there are companies out there, it's a little bit tight. And that's okay. You can work through that. And yeah, maybe you got to tighten your belt just like the boss and the rest of the company. There was a time when that was understood by both capital and labor. Somewhere along the lines, capital decided, well, hey, nobody helped me make this. I did this all on my own. After all, I'm the smart one. I'm the deserving one. Those people down there, They didn't help me with this. That, unfortunately, is wrong. It's wrong by any standard, and Americans get it. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
On the line, Mark Belanger from Radio Labor, reporting for the Union Edge. The European Union is moving to tackle its depression-like unemployment crisis by implementing an investment plan worth 315 billion euros. That's about $360 billion. The EU says the plan could create up to 2.5 million jobs. There are 25 million officially unemployed people in the European Union countries. The unemployment rate is 12%. But official unemployment figures only take into account people who are registered as actively searching for jobs. The real rate of unemployment in the EU is much higher. As well, the figures do not take into account regional differences. For example, in Greece, 60% of young people are unemployed. The International Labour Organization, the ILO, has welcomed the EU's investment plan, but warns that if the money isn't invested where it's needed, the resulting increase in jobs could be much less than anticipated. Daniel Johnson of UN Radio reports.
It's not every day you hear someone turning their nose up at billions of euros, but that's just what International Labour Organization economist Raymond Torres sounded like on Wednesday.
If the investment plan is not well designed, the employment impact would be very small. Only 0.4 million new jobs by 2018, so very little.
Mr. Torres was discussing the 315 billion euro stimulus package to kickstart the eurozone economy. The so-called Juncker plan could fail if it doesn't encourage sufficient private investment, he warned. But it could create 2.1 million jobs if all goes well, according to the ILO. Mr. Torres said it was important that small companies in struggling eurozone countries had access to investment, since they create more jobs. The European Investment Bank could help by putting in place credit guarantees to protect banks wary of dispensing loans after the 2007 global crisis, he added. Daniel Johnson, United Nations.
The World Labour Body, which represents teacher unions, is calling for an emergency fund to help get millions of children into school. Radio Labour's senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough has a report.
The Global Union Federation for Teachers and Other Education Workers is supporting a plan by the United Nations to help educate children who have been forced out of school because of wars, disease, or natural disasters. Education International represents 30 million education workers in 170 countries and territories. The United Nations plan is being led by former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Mr. Brown is now the special UN envoy for education. He is calling on countries to establish an emergency fund which will provide money to help children who are out of school because of crises in Gaza, Iraq, Syria, South Sudan, Thailand, and other areas. Mr. Brown is hoping that the fund will be established when the World Bank meets in April. Support for the plan by Education International is part of the union's program to get children into schooling. There are millions of children who are out of school because of child labor, child marriage, and attacks on schools, as well as wars and natural disasters. EI has a petition on its website which calls for greater support for child education. The site is at www.ei-ie.org. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
In other news, in Norway, more than 1.5 million workers staged a two-hour strike on Wednesday. They were protesting new labor laws, which union leaders say will lead to fewer jobs, longer shifts, compulsory overtime, and more weekend work. In Poland, 18,000 miners, members of the Solidarność Union, are on strike. They are fighting cutbacks in pay and their annual bonus payment. In the United Kingdom, two of the largest unions have helped save the gas fracking industry from being banned. The GMB and Unite unions convinced legislators that the use of the technique is necessary to ensure gas supplies. Fracking is the use of water to force gas out of underground rock formations. And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's daily newscasts are available on its website, Facebook, iTunes, union websites, mobile phones, and community radio stations. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
Improve your life. Join a union. Interested? Just ask us. We will show you how. TheUnionEdge.com.